The following program, sponsored by Christian Training and Development Services, Hanson Chiropractic, Northwest Family Life, Ludeman Capital Management, Network Services, and Cannon Beach Christian Conference Center.
Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
Welcome to Creation Matters. This is Mike Riddle on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And I have a question for you. Should churches spend time teaching about creation when it's really not required for salvation? Shouldn't we just stick to the Gospels and the works of Jesus? I hear that a lot from churches. If you have a problem with that question, or if you have an answer to that question, give us a call at 206-374-8800 or toll free 800-955-8200. Now, I have a question. When it comes to the first, or a statement here, let's start with the statement. When it comes to the first part of the Bible, you know, many people are really lost or confused about the first part of the Bible. We might know a lot of the stories about David and Goliath, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, even Noah and the Flood and the Ark. But you know, very few people have put all this together to understand who our Creator God really is. I'd like to talk about that today. Knowing our Creator. Do you really know who our Creator is? You see, the Bible begins with an essential element for understanding who God is. And our relationship to Him. The Bible begins with the real story about the true God. See, God's creation of the universe gives us a clear picture of what God is like and who He is. Now, as we're going to learn about God through His activity, creation is absolutely the best place to start. You see, it's critical. It's a critical event for a person's worldview to understand something about creation. In other words, when I talk about this worldview, now what do we mean by worldview? Well, you know, there's many different types of worldviews, but if you break them down, all worldviews come down to just two main things. Number one, the existence or non-existence of God, and number two, the nature of God. So our worldviews are all broken down to our belief about the existence and nature of God. For example, there are people out there that don't even believe God exists. The atheists and the anti-theists, they don't even believe in the existence of God. We have religions out there that believe in many gods. We have people out there that believe that rocks and crystals and Mother Earth are our gods. We have religions out there that believe you can become a god. So it all comes down to your belief in the existence and nature of God, your worldview. And an understanding of origins is critical to your worldview. So should we be spending time teaching about creation when it's really not the part of the gospel? It's not essential to being saved. Should we really teach about it when we should be teaching about the gospels and the works of Jesus? Well, I think we're going to need to know a little bit about who our Creator is to really understand what the gospels are all about. See, the historical details of creation are critical to understanding who God is and our relationship to Him. See, the Bible begins with these words. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. This includes the universe as we know it, the stars, the galaxies, the sun, the moon, the earth, and all life forms. All of that is given in the first chapter of Genesis. So what we're going to do here today is take a look at Genesis and see how critical it is to understanding who God really is. And I'm going to go through 9 characteristics about God that we actually get from the first several chapters of Genesis. In other words, if you don't take these first chapters of Genesis as historical truth, then we might not know who God really is. For instance, we start with, how does God create all this? How does He create all this? You know, it starts off, in the beginning God created. Now, how did He do that? You know, the Bible teaches how He did it. I hear a lot of people coming out of these seminaries today telling me that our teachers and our professors told us the Bible really doesn't teach how God created. No, that's absolutely wrong. That is absolutely wrong. Because the Bible over and over again teaches how God created. Let me start with this verse, Jeremiah 32:17. It tells us how God created right there. And it teaches this, our Lord God Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth with thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. That right there tells us how God created. He did it with his great power. But if you want more, we can turn to the New Testament. Hebrews 11:3 tells us about God's great power to call something into existence out of nothing. Here's Hebrews 11, verse 3, and it teaches, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. So right there we see a very important characteristic about the nature of God. He is all-powerful. Only he can create out of nothing. And we get that in Genesis chapter 1. So there's our first characteristic about God. He is all-powerful. Now, God's creation begins with an earth as a watery mass. It's a watery mass. Notice he uses the words formless and void. Now, out of all this chaos, God creates order. Each new day he creates is what we as human beings need to survive on this planet. On day one, God creates the earth, the darkness, and the light. On day two, he creates the firmament, or the atmosphere, something we need, the air to breathe. On day three, God creates the dry land, the seas, and vegetation. On day four, he creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. On day five, he creates the sea creatures and the birds. Then on day six, he creates the land animals. And when everything is ready, he creates the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and he brings them into a perfect and orderly creation. So right there's the second characteristic we get about God right out of Genesis. He is a God of order. So we have, he is a God of power and he's a God of order, and that's where we get that from, the book of Genesis. Well, let's look at a third thing we find about God in Genesis. God is transcendent. Notice he transcends or rises above his creation. In other words, he is not part of his creation, nor does his creation control him. It came into existence at his command. We read that in Psalm 33, 6 and 9. Psalm 33, 6, we see, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And then verse 9, he commanded, and it came into existence. Folks, there's only one true creator God. The light, the seas, the seasons, the plants and animals were all created gifts from the word of God. These gifts are not dependent upon some type of magic like we might hear from evolutionists or the whim of made-up gods. They are all gifts from the Creator. This is why we need to be praising Him. And isn't that a great thing to think about as we approach Thanksgiving Day? That we need to be on our knees giving thanks to our Creator God, because He is a God of all power, and He is a God of order, and He transcends above His creation. Well, let's look at a fourth thing about our God that we find in the first chapters of Genesis. He is a sovereign God. He is the absolute ruler of His creation. And we see this also reiterated in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 6, where it says this, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." And we see that stated again very closely in Isaiah 43, verse 10. "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." He is the only God. God, being the creator of all things, folks, is the owner and judge of all things. And we see this in New Testament also. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, we read, "For by Him were all things created." Did you get that there? It said all things created right there in the New Testament. And then it goes on to say that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by Him and for Him. Then in verse 17 we read, "And He," meaning God, "is before all things, and by Him all things consist." What a powerful verse that is to our Creator God. We see the word all mentioned several times there, and also notice the phrase visible and invisible. He created the things we can see and the things we can't see. What a great God we have. And also it says, by Him all things consist. You know what that means? He holds every molecule together in our body. He is the one that knows how the atoms consist and how they hold together. He gives us every breath that we take every day. That's why we need to be on our knees thanking God this Thanksgiving. And then we can turn to Hebrews 12, verse 23. It says, He's the judge. Listen to this. And it says, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. So we see another great characteristic about God. He stands above His creation. He is the judge and the absolute ruler of His creation. But you know there's more. There's more. Are you starting to see a reason why we need to be teaching creation? Because in those first chapters of Genesis, folks, we see an awful lot about the nature of God. We begin to know who God is by reading that first and second chapter of Genesis. If you don't believe those first chapters of Genesis, then maybe you really don't know a lot about God. Because it starts right there in the beginning. God created. If you have any questions about this, give us a call at 206-374-8800. That's 206-374-8800. Or, you know, you can even call us toll-free at 800-955-8200. If you have any questions, if you want to have anything you want to give thanks to God, our Creator, for, give us a call. Just simple little thanks to God, our Creator. Give us a call this day as we approach Thanksgiving, when we as Christians need to be on our knees thanking God for everything we have to eat, every blessing He's given us, every breath of our life. Well, let's go to number five here. Number five about the nature of God that we find in the first books of Genesis. Did you know God has a special interest in mankind? Throughout all this creation, He has a special interest in who we are. In other words, man is the apex of His creation. That makes us very, very special. In other words, the first 5 days of creation are just anticipating man's creation. And God says this, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Only man is given this special distinction. This means, folks, it is a perversion of God's creation to put things higher than us and worship them, such as putting crystals and rocks and animals. And that goes for all you people out there in those animal rights. Folks, we are created special above the animals. And when we come back, we're going to continue with God has a special interest in mankind. And give us a call at 206-374-8800 or toll-free 800-955-8200 if you want to give thanks to God. Welcome back to Creation Matters. This is Mike Riddle, and we're talking about knowing our Creator today. And we've already gone through five characteristics, or what we found about the nature of God. We found out from the first books of Genesis that God is all-powerful. He is a God of order. He is transcendent above His creation. He's not part of it. He sits on top of it. He is a sovereign God. He is the absolute ruler of all things. And now we're in that part that He has a special interest in mankind. And I have a question here for you. Should animals have the same equal rights as humans? Should we allow animals to have the same equal rights as humans? Well, that might be a very good thought for some of you, because I know some of these people who have the animal rights movement, the extreme end, seem to think that we should be treating animals equal with humans. Well, if you're believing in evolution, that myth of evolution or the religion of evolution, then maybe you have a justified reason for believing in it, because that's your religion. But folks, if you're believing the Bible, God's Word, that is not what His Word says. He gave us dominion over all the creatures. He said everything else in His creation is lower than man in His creation. So should we allow animals to have equal rights? Should we have statues to worship in front of us? Should we be talking about good old Mother Earth? Should we be bowing down and talking about Mother Earth and paying special homage to that? Well, if you think we should, give us a call at 206-374-8800 or toll-free 800-955-8200. So God has a special interest in mankind. But as you're thinking about giving us a call about statues, whatever they might be crosses, they might be Buddha, they might be anything. They might even be crystals. Some people worship those. And some people love to worship Mother Earth. So let's talk about this next characteristic of God called all other gods are false gods. You know, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 is one of the most remarkable chapters for establishing all other gods are false gods. And you know it does this without even mentioning the other gods? What an incredible book this is. The earth, which includes the rocks, the crystals, Mother Earth, is not some living god. Mother Earth is not some living god, as the New Age movement would declare. It is nothing more than created dry land, folks. It was created right there in the first chapters of Genesis. The sea is no kingdom of another god, but just water created by the true living God. The stars are not to be worshipped either. They're also created. He made the stars on day four. The sun and the moon, folks, are not to be worshipped. They're relegated to just greater and lesser lights. So we have a call. Let's take a call right now. Joseph from Seattle, you're on the line. What do you have to say?
Hi. I'm not so sure. You know, I know we're above the animals, and you know we're more superior. And I'm not an animal rights activist, but I'm an animal lover. We still, in my opinion, we still have a responsibility to care for the animals because God is so much far above us, but yet He still loves us and cares for us. You know, and our Father, you know, He sets examples. So things under our charge, I think that we should take them, you know, take care of them and prevent them from being abused.
Thank you for that, Joseph. That is exactly right. God gave us the right to care, be caretakers of His creation. We should not go out and abuse it. And unfortunately, there is a lot of abuse that goes on. We should take care. I love animals, too. I like all kinds of animals. And we should take care of our animals. We should. It's not that they have the same privileges that we have, but they are living beings. They are living things, and we should not harm anything out there. We should be good caretakers of the earth. God gave us that to take care of. But, folks, it's not a Mother Earth. It is dry land.
Exactly.
But I like your attitude there, Joseph. We should not ignore abuse. Abuse is a crime. If you have a pet, you need to take care of it, folks. It is very important. It loves you, too.
Amen.
And thank you very much for that, Joseph.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, let's get back to all of the gods are false gods. We mentioned that the stars should not be worshipped because they're just created things out there. They go through something called, and I'll use this fancy term, makes me look good, nuclear fusion. Nuclear fusion, how hydrogen burns to helium and on up to the elements there. That's what the stars are doing. They're not some living being as a dog or a cat or any other animal is. They should not be worshipped. The sun and the moon, should they be worshipped? Nope. God created those on day four. The sun is just like a star, folks. It's doing nuclear fusion. And the moon is just what we relegate it to, a lesser light. So they're not to be worshipped. You see, in just a few simple sentences in Genesis chapter 1, the entire New Age religion is shown to be nothing more than a fabrication of man. Likewise, in the first chapters of Genesis, the whole concept of evolution is shown to be nothing more than a fabrication of man. Now, how do we get that from the first chapters of Genesis? Well, did you know Genesis is so important, it even teaches the true history of science? Did you know that? Now, the Bible's not a science textbook. Thank goodness. Why am I glad the Bible's not a science textbook? Because our science textbooks are constantly changing. But you know the Bible's never had to change. It talks a lot about science, and it's never had to change. Do you know the Bible gives the real history of astronomy? So if you're out there trying to learn astronomy, if you don't know the Bible, you don't know the true history of astronomy. Well, wait a minute, Mike. Where do you get astronomy in the Bible? How about the phrase, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? And how about on day four, He made the stars, the sun, and the moon? That's how they came into existence. There's your true history of astronomy. Folks, stars, as far as we know, do not form by the evolutionary process of gravitational collapse. That doesn't work very good. But you know, the Bible also talks about the true history of geology. Oh, wait a minute, Mike, again, where do you find geology in the Bible? How about Genesis chapter 6 through 9, where it talks about the Genesis flood, Noah's Ark and the flood? That's how we get our geologic record. That's where we get most of our fossil record from. So it talks all about geology right there. If you don't know the true history of the Bible, if you don't know the story about Noah's Ark and the flood, you don't have a very good understanding of how this earth got to the way it is. Do you know the Bible also teaches about biology? Oh, wait a minute again, Mike. Where in the world does it talk biology? Where does it talk about cells and DNA and RNA and ATP and all these wild names out there? Well, it doesn't mention those by name, but you know it makes a very profound statement. And it makes the statement several times. It says, created after their kind. There is your true history of biology. God created all animals, all sea creatures, all birds, all living things after their kind. Now, we've got to be careful with that. It means that God created everything with the ability to adapt to its environment. He created it with something called genetic variability. In other words, God allowed all creatures to look a little different, but not become something new. Now, we in laboratories might be able to alter some of these things, but you know that takes intelligence, and evolution does not allow for intelligence. It's based on random chance. So the Bible clearly teaches the true history of biology, created after the kind. In other words, people look different. We have many different shades and different sizes of people. We have many kinds of dogs, but they're all dogs. We have many kinds in the cat family. They're all cats, and the same for every creature. Don't we have a wonderful God we need to be thankful for, that He allowed all the dogs to look different? Wouldn't that be a shame if all our dogs looked the same? If you lost your dog, you wouldn't know what to do. Aren't we glad He let people look different? You wouldn't want everybody looking like me. Well, you don't know what it looked like necessarily, but you probably wouldn't want that anyway. So aren't we glad we have a wonderful God who was a God of order, a God of power, who knew how to create all this stuff and allowed us to look a little different, but we're all people. Our DNA says we are all people. And you know the Bible also talks about anthropology. Wow, where does it talk about that, Mike? Right there in Genesis, where He said He created us in the image and likeness of God. There is the origin of humans right there, folks. We did not come up from the apes. We did not. There's absolutely zero evidence that we came up from the apes. All these alleged transitions from apes to humans have been clearly shown to either be 100% ape creatures or 100% humans. Now, oh, wait a minute, Mike. I see all these pictures in our textbooks. Well, I see all these pictures in textbooks also. But did you know, I've actually taken those pictures from the textbooks. For instance, we talked last week about one of these famous ones called Lucy. Dr. David Menton, who has his PhD in cell biology and a professor of human anatomy for over 30 years, talked about this creature called Lucy, which was a type of, well, I'll use his word, Australopithecine, which means a southern ape. We find these creatures in South Africa. Now, we look at the picture in our textbooks, and I compare that picture to the actual bones that were found. And you know there's no comparison. Absolutely no comparison. What they have done with these pictures in the textbooks is redrawn them to make them look more human-like. That is not honest. There is something not right in our textbooks. If evolution wants to call themselves science, they have to be able to give the real science, not artistic pictures drawn in textbooks, folks. So, here we have it. The Bible gives the true history of science. It talks about the history of astronomy, geology, biology, and anthropology. And right there, totally destroys all of evolution. Both evolution and the New Age are nothing more than man's revolt against the true living Creator. How sad and desperate people are when they let what God created rule over them. How sad that is that we let Mother Earth rule over us when God created us, people, as the apex of His creation. Folks, if you've got anything to be thankful about our God, and we have many things to be thankful about our God, He's a God of power, a God who made us very special and gave us dominion over His creation. Give us a call at 206-374-8800 or toll-free 800-955-8800. 8200, and let's give thanks to our Creator God. This is Creation Matters, and I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and this is the show that talks about creation and evolution. We talk about what does the Bible have to say about true origins, what does science have to say, and what are evolutionists out there saying. And today's topic is knowing our Creator. And if you're interested in these kind of topics and you want more information, you need to go to our website, which is www.creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. You know, there's many things you can find out out there. You can actually go out there and click on the box that talks about, that has the words Creation Matters in it, and you can get a complete lineup of all the topics we've talked about over the past weeks and the future topics we're going to talk about and who our special guests are going to be. You can even get links to many other pages on the web that talk about the topic we're talking about today or the topics we talked about in previous weeks. You know, you can also get the complete recording of these talks. We have them all out there, so you can download these, and you can play them for other people or listen to them again. So we have all of that out there. We have many resources out there on that website. Some are free, and some we make you pay a little bit. But this is a ministry we're in here for, and if you want to help this ministry out, we need that. We need your prayer. We need your financial support to keep putting this information out so that we can get the truth of science and the truth about God's creation out there to as many people as we can, and especially to our youth, folks. Well, we were just finishing talking about, we're just in about halfway through. I don't want to give the idea we're done yet. But we've talked about who God is, and we found all these characteristics about who God is right there in the first several chapters of Genesis. We saw that God is all-powerful. He is a God of order. He is a transcendent God. He stands above His creation. He is a sovereign God, absolute ruler, and He has a special interest in mankind. And we were just talking about the New Age, and that Genesis just totally destroys all this New Age idea, and it even destroys the whole concept of evolution, if you want to believe in real science. But, you know, these too many people out there are letting rocks and statues become more important than the living Creator. How sad when we give up our God-created position over all other created things and begin to worship the creation rather than the Creator. See, the Bible teaches these created things, these rocks, the stars, and even man's traditions cannot save you. The Bible clearly teaches that. Our Creator clearly teaches that. See, the Bible teaches in John 14:6 just this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's Jesus Christ making that statement. He is the one and only way. Folks, you don't get saved by talking to the rocks and crystals. You don't get saved by obeying man's traditions. You get saved one and only way. That's through Jesus Christ. And the foundation for that statement, the foundation for John 14:6, is in the book of Genesis. So do you think it's important to know about our Creator God? Is it important to teach about creation? I'll use the scientific terms here. You betcha, folks. I like to keep those scientific terms easy. It is very important to understand creation, because right there, you start to understand who our God is. Well, let's go to number 7, characteristic number 7 about the nature of God that we find right there in Genesis chapter 1. He is a perfect God. Genesis 1:31, when God finishes His creation, all 6 days of creation, He looks back and makes this statement. He says, everything is very good. He pronounces His entire creation very good. Folks, that leaves no room, I'll make this statement clear, absolutely no room for billions of years of death and decay, as many people sitting in churches want to put in there. Folks, if there's billions of years of earth history before God created Adam and Eve, then what was going on? And the only thing we can think of is billions of years of death and decay. And think of this, if God calls billions of years of death and decay His very good, then what else does it mean in the Bible when God calls something good? And here's another question. Why in the world would anybody want to go to heaven if His very good includes death and decay? That statement right there, Genesis 1:31, everything is very good, gives us a perfect God. And you know, that's not the only place we see that. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says, He is the rock, His work is perfect. And we see that again in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. As for God, His way is perfect. So we have a God who is all-powerful. We have a God of order. He is a God who is transcendent, a God who is sovereign, and He has a special interest in mankind. And all other gods are false gods. And number 7, He is a perfect God. And let's go to number 8. We find this also in the first chapters of Genesis. He is a God of mercy and grace. I thought that was just a New Testament thing. Nope. We see the foundation for God as a God of mercy and grace right there in the chapters of Genesis. Now I'd like to talk about, first take a quick detour. Many churches sing one of these great hymns, and I love this hymn. It's called, I Love to Tell the Story. Many of you probably remember that, and you probably now have it in your mind going through the tune, I Love to Tell the Story. Now I can give you the words, but I can't hum that tune. That's not one of the gifts that God gave me. He gave me other gifts, but that wasn't one of them. But you know, when I get to heaven, whatever I do, it's going to be a joyful noise, isn't it? And here's what that hymn, the hymn goes like this. Starts off with, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. Well, here's the question. How many of you can tell that story? See, some of us might know part of the story, but can you tell the whole story? I like to tell this story on my wife here, and I can tell she's sitting here with me, and I can say, hi, wife. She used to play the organ in the churches when she was growing up. And one of the songs she used to play on the organ was, I Love to Tell the Story. Then one day she was playing that tune, the I Love to Tell the Story, and she thought to herself, what is the story? She had never been taught the whole story in the churches. You know, there's many churches out there today that only tell part of the story. See, the whole story begins with God's perfect creation. That's where the story starts. God created a perfect creation. Genesis 1:31, God calls His creation very good. And then what happens? That creation becomes corrupted by sin. We have the fall, the curse. Because of this, we need a new creation. But you know, we need a new creation, but we have a wonderful God. Because from the very beginning, He had a plan for this new creation. So why do we need a new creation? Here's why. Because God is the creator. And because He's the creator, He sets the standards for who can go to heaven. Did you know that? God sets the standards for who can go to heaven. Not any religion. Not any Protestant religion. Not even the Catholic Church. Did you know not even the Pope says who can go to heaven? How about that one? And since He's a perfect and holy God, He demands the same from us. He's just not a God of, oh, you can work your way to heaven. He demands that we be holy and perfect. It doesn't matter how many good works you've done, folks. That does not meet God's standards. You know, Romans 3, verses 10 through 12 state this. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. You know what that says? None of us meet God's standards. Now we're in trouble. So we have some real bad news to tell everybody out there. The bad news is we fall short of God's requirement for getting to heaven. That doesn't sound like good news to me. That sounds like pretty bad news. You know, the bad news, we find that in Romans 3:23 where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let me give you some more bad news while we're talking about this. Romans 6:23, the first part of Romans 6:23, just goes wrong right along with this bad news. And we talk about all his sin, but it says the wages of sin is death. So right there, folks, the Bible's telling every one of us deserves death. But you know, in the midst of all that bad news, we have some good news. Let me share you the good news. And it comes the last part of Romans 6:23. And it says this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, God has made a provision for us. He's given us a gift. But you know that gift does not come through rocks, crystals. It does not come through a belief in evolution. It does not come through Mother Earth. It comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, through His grace and mercy, offers us the free gift of heaven. And I hope you understand what a free gift is, folks. A free gift is something you can't pay for. A free gift is something you don't work for, folks. It is free. In other words, it has been paid for. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9 tell us this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What a powerful verse that is. Right there it tells us, God has given us this gift. You can't work your way to heaven. It's already been paid for. What a wonderful Creator God we have. But you know, we find out about this. All this starts, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. That whole verse relies on something that happened in Genesis. It is important to know about Genesis. It is important to know about creation and the truth about creation, not a compromised creation, folks. We have nothing to apologize for, because did you know all the science supports exactly what the Bible teaches? Now, wait a minute, Mike. Where does it talk about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 in Genesis? Well, how about in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when we have the first reference to the Savior, or the need for a Savior. And it says this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." There's our first reference for a need for a Creator God. We have a battle going on. You know what that word enmity means? It means hostility or hatred. There's a hostility going on in this world against God, the Creator. In other words, Genesis laid the foundation for all that we see in the New Testament. Genesis is the foundation for understanding the need for the good news, the gospel. You see, there has to be a spiritual renewing, not just good works. We need a rebirth. We have to have a rebirth. And this is only made possible by not rocks, not crystals, not a belief in evolution, folks, but Jesus Christ. But I have a question. What gives Jesus Christ the authority to do all this? When we come back, we're going to answer that question, the authority of Jesus Christ. And give us a call if you have any questions or thanks you want to give to God at 206-374-8800 or 800-955-8200. Welcome back to Creation Matters, and this is your host, Mike Riddle, and we're talking about knowing our Creator. And we left off with who was Jesus and what in the world is his authority to be allowed to save us. In other words, John 14:6 says it's only through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's nothing else under the sun how we could be saved, only through the works of Jesus Christ. But what is his authority? Folks, what are his credentials? How many books has he written? See, this is a very important concept to understand. Who is Jesus? First of all, we know Jesus is God. He came down to this planet as a man. He suffered and died on a cross, and he was resurrected from the dead. But what about the whole story? What about that song, "I Love to Tell the Story"? Most of us don't like to begin a book in the middle. We want to know how we got there. Our Christian heritage begins at the beginning. See, he's not just the Savior. The Bible also teaches that Jesus Christ was the Creator of all things. There's your tie into the gospel. The one who went to the cross for you is the one who called everything into existence. That's why we need to start at the beginning. He is a God of mercy and grace, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he went to that cross for you, and he has all the authority in the world over every one of us. He will be our judge. And finally, we have a God of judgment. Did you know we have a God of judgment? That starts right there in the book of Genesis. And Genesis chapters 6 through 9 talks all about the flood, a true worldwide flood, and not some local inundation, some local flood. Genesis chapter 7 gives us a very clear wording that this had to be a worldwide flood. If it wasn't a worldwide flood, why did Noah need an ark when he could have walked somewhere else? If the flood was local, why did God have to bring the animals there? You see, there's over and over again we can go through. This flood had to be a worldwide flood. And there you see a God of judgment. So we have a God who is powerful, a God of order. He is a transcendent God. He is a sovereign God. He has a special interest in mankind above all other parts of his creation. All other gods are false gods. He is a perfect God. He is a God of mercy and grace, and he's a God of judgment, folks. That's why it's important to understand the Creator and the creation. That's why we need to start at the very beginning. You see, folks, the universe can't explain its own existence. Something cannot create itself. Nothing can't create something. And whatever cannot explain its own existence calls for an explanation beyond itself. This means there has to be a Creator God. And his name is Jesus Christ, and his testimony to us begins with the words, "In the beginning, God created." Now, if you want more teaching like this, if you want more teaching on who our Creator God is, you want more teaching on creation evolution, you want the real science, folks, you need to help support us. We need your financial support for teaching on the radio and developing all the new materials we have planned for homeschools, Bible studies, Sunday schools, or Christian schools. We invite you to partner with us. Give us a call, if you want, at 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or visit our website at creationmatters.org. Creationmatters.org. You know, there's many things you can find on our website. We talked about some. You know, we have DVDs out there. These are not just plain DVDs you can watch. They're DVDs of 1 hour of lecture on creation evolution. Plus, you get interviews with other scientists and top theologians. And we give free lesson plans for each one of these DVDs, ready for teachers, ready for homeschools. These lesson plans are up to 20 pages long. And what you get in these lesson plans is complete outlines, detailed outlines of the whole DVD so you don't have to take notes, quizzes, and get this, answer keys. We have a creation apologetics book out there for those of you who want to read and study more. We have audio CDs for those of you who like to listen in cars. You know, one of my favorites we have out there is called Creation to the Cross. We even have a complete course on the origin of life, 3 hours of video teaching, a student manual and teacher manual for $19. In addition, you can download many of my lectures, PowerPoint slides. They're all free. You can even get free dinosaur illustrations for children's. You'll find links to additional papers on each topic we cover. Each week's lesson is posted on the website so you can listen to again and again. Folks, if you want to help support this ministry, give us a call at 425-269-3196 or go to our website and click on one of these boxes. Website, again, is creationmatters.org. Click on our FIGEP box, our Foundations and Genesis box. You'll find all about the things we're trying to do. Click on our dinosaur box there, and you'll find out what we're trying to do with this new dinosaur program that has a DVD and an educational book for children. Or click on the Creation Matters box and find out all the extra links you can go to and the new topics we're going to be talking about the next several weeks. Folks, it is important to know about our Creator God, and it starts with the words, "In the beginning, God created." And that is the best place to learn about who our Creator God is. And as we approach this day, folks, we need to be on our knees giving God a special thanks for every breath and every meal we have.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.